Well, today we're going to continue our series on the mission of the synagogue, the mission of Karen Orr. We have been discussing this. We talked about the vision a few weeks ago. The vision of our congregation, the vision of why are we even here? You know, why did God call me here? Why did God call you here? It's always funny in Messianic Judaism, we're kind of like the children of Israel, that mixed multitude. We're people from every different tribe and country and background. We've got people here from a Catholic background. We've got people here from a Protestant background. We got people here from a nothing background, right? Atheists and agnostics. We have people here from a Jewish background. But we all are united with what the Word says and with who God is. And that's why we're here. And you know, we probably wouldn't hang out with each other if it wasn't for the Lord, right? Because we're very different. It's kind of like high school. You'd never hang out with all those people in high school, but high school brought you together, right? And you know, after you left high school, you probably never saw the people again until you found them on Facebook 20 years later, right? But you'll never speak to them again. You're different. You're going in different directions. But we have a united thing here, and it's called the Lord. And God has called each and every one of us here to this congregation. So we better learn how to build it up. We better learn how to work together. We better learn what the vision God has for this congregation. Now, this isn't my vision. I didn't wake up one day a few years ago in Florida and say, I'm going to move to Savannah today, and I'm going to start a congregation. You know, God called us here. God called you here. This is prophetic. This is God working. God's got things that he's doing. So we got to remember that this is God's vision and not my vision and not your vision. Even though we're going to get on board, it's fun to get on board with what God's doing, and God's called us here. Let's get on board with it. But remember whose vision it is. It's God's vision. So we talked last week, you know, we have these three icons. You see them on the branding. You see them on the website, the love, grow, shine. We talked about the love last week. What's the love? The love is God loving us primarily and the justification that we have in God. Okay, we have that covenant of Messiah. Right, God has sworn a covenant, and that's his promise to us, is the covenant of Yeshua, the Messiah, who came and died for us, that we may be with God forever, that we may have God as our salvation, that we sang about today. So that's the love part. We have to have that as our base. Before we do anything, before we carry out any vision or mission from God, we have to understand who we are in God. We have to understand who we are in the Messiah. But today I want to talk about the second one, the little plant there in the middle, the grow part, and what does that mean for our congregation? What does that mean for us fulfilling the mission that God's called us to at Karen Orr? So I want to let's put up the next screen there, and this is something that we have on our website that we talk about right there. We seek to grow as followers of Yeshua, our teacher and Messiah. We come together as a community to grow in our faith and grow in our relationships. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about growing in the Lord. And it's interesting because we had the sermon series on Nehemiah last time. And Nehemiah was a guy, he was a Jewish guy living in Persia, faraway land. And God called Nehemiah. There was a specific vision and mission that Nehemiah had. But Nehemiah couldn't fulfill the vision and mission until he knew his God, right? He knew his God. And until he took the steps to carry out the vision, which is building the wall in Jerusalem. But, you know, Nehemiah was probably an engineer. I'm thinking Nehemiah was got to be like some type of an engineer or something, because he probably had all the pieces to go. You couldn't just do this. You couldn't just say, okay, God's given me the vision. He wants me to go build the wall. Let's go. He must have had some plan that he carried out. And we have to have a plan that we carry out to carry out the vision and the mission. We have to know the Lord, just like Nehemiah, and then we have to start taking steps. This is the first step. We need to grow as followers of Yeshua. You can't just, you know, people think, oh, I accept the Lord, I have that justification, I'm saved, I have eternal life, and boom, it's all going to come to me. I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to act differently. I'm going to stop, and you just fill in the blank. I'm going to stop doing, because now I'm a believer. And I'm totally changed. Well, yes, you are transformed. But you have to learn how to work out your salvation. You have to learn how to grow. It doesn't just come to you. It's not just a, okay, I got it. You know, I put in the thumb drive and download all that stuff. It's you got to learn. And you know what? That takes time. And that takes energy. And that takes more time. And that takes more energy. And that's how we grow. We grow little by little. But we grow as followers of Yeshua, our teacher and master. So I'm not going to spend time on this, but really, are we letting God be our teacher and master? Are you letting God be your teacher and master? We talk about God is our salvation and God does all the stuff for us, but are you letting God make you grow? Are you allowing him to be your teacher and to be your Messiah today? And are you allowing him to work in your life through community? And that's what we want to talk about. You know, when you look at the analogy, and we use the analogy of the little thing of the plant there, the icon, and there's a reason why we chose a plant. Now, let me just say, I don't know anything about plants. I like to kill plants. And I don't mean that by that saying that I'm a mean or spiteful person. I just can't wait to kill some plants, you know. I try really hard not to kill plants, but I still kill them. I still have a black thumb. But thank God I don't have to plant plants for the Lord. I just have to use this analogy about plants for you today. And I won't kill this analogy, I promise. Plants grow with two things, sunlight and water. Okay? We can apply this, obviously, to our lives. Sunlight is God and his light, Yeshua, the light of Yeshua, right? And so we have sunlight plants grow with, and we also have water. Plants have to grow with water. And what's the water? Water is that daily immersion in the Word, going through things in your life, being constantly watered by the Lord and by other people. That's how you grow. If you don't have sunlight, okay, if you don't have that time with the Lord, listening to Him, reading His Word, praying, if you don't have that water, constantly coming to services, constantly reading, fellowshipping with people, having good relationships in your life, if you don't have those two things, you're not going to grow, okay? Plants don't grow without it, and people don't grow without it spiritually. There can be healthy growth with plants, and there can be unhealthy growth with plants. We have to remember that as well. If you move plants around a lot, you take a potted plant, right? Remember, I don't know anything about plants. Everything I know, I read on the internet, and you know, the internet always is true, whatever it says. But what I read on the internet this week, and I believe it, is that when you take a little potted plant and you move it around, it cannot grow as well as if you keep it in the right place. So you not only need sunlight and water, but unhealthy growth happens when you move that plant around a lot. Move it around a lot, it's not going to grow like it should. Don't give it enough water. Don't give it enough sunlight. Keep it in the shade. It's not going to grow. In the same way, you can have really unhealthy spiritual growth in your life. You could think, oh, I'm growing because I'm reading everything I need to know about God from so-and-so on the internet. Or I'm doing everything because I'm following this person. Well, this person may not be very healthy. So we have to remember there's also unhealthy growth. But there is healthy spiritual growth that we can have in our lives. And that's what we need to talk about today. How can we have healthy spiritual growth, so we can be like that plant and we can grow and fulfill the mission that God has for each and every one of our lives and for our congregation, by the way. But we have to talk about that because it just doesn't come to you, like I said. There's four ways that I'm going to give you today, four ways to have healthy growth. There's a bazillion ways to have unhealthy growth. I'm not going to go into those. You could probably find them yourselves. But let's talk about four ways to have really healthy growth in your life. Number one, this should be pretty obvious. We grow in the Lord. Okay, that's number one. Reading the Word of God. I have grown up as a believer reading, you know, a chapter of Proverbs a day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. You read one a day, except when you're in February and some of the other days, some of the other months that only have 30 days. But regardless, you catch 31 days of Proverbs and you keep reading it and reading it and reading it. And let me tell you, it's good practical living. It's good practical growth. Some people have a Bible reading plan that they use. I would encourage you all to be in your Bibles regularly. Whether you do a one-year Bible, whether you do a chronological, go through the Bible or whatever. But there's ways and there's many vehicles out there to allow you to read the Word of God. We grow in the Lord. You don't grow unless you read it. How do you get to know anything unless you take the time to learn it? Okay? You can't figure out God unless you take the time to read His Word, until you take the time to spend time with Him. But a big part of that is reading His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So this implies that the Word of God equips us and gives us everything we need for every good work. Well, I can't. The Word of God doesn't tell me how to do this or that or the other. Well, it really does if you really go through the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can find the things that you need for your life, whatever your specific situation is. It is found in the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is different than any other book that's out there. It's a bestseller, but it has a lot of practical insight for us for how to grow. You want to know how to grow? Read this Word. Read the book. Apply it to your life. That's the other thing, too. We have a lot of people, especially Bible scholars in universities, that read a lot of the Bible, but they don't take it and apply it to their lives. Okay? You know, Jewish boys from a young age in Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox circles, they will memorize large portions of the Bible. Okay? And if you were to say one word or one phrase, they could immediately recall the rest of it. And that's how Jewish thought is. That's why, and also when people read things like the book of Matthew and they get confused about the context of Matthew, if you had Matthew is the gospel written to Jewish people. There's four different gospels. They're kind of written for different people. But Matthew has a Jewish mindset. So if you're reading Matthew and you're reading one little sentence, immediately as a Jewish person, especially a Jewish young male, you'd be like, oh, it means da-da-da-da-da, and you can finish the phrase. But the point is, they had all that scripture in them. They had it. But it's great to have scripture, but that's only the first part. You got to apply that scripture to your life. Okay? Don't make it an academic pursuit. I'm going to grow by just learning, and that's all great. But if you don't get it inside of you, you're not going to grow. Okay? The water has got to not just hit the surface. The water's got to go down and get into that dirt, right? And produce really good, healthy roots. So you need to apply the Word of God in your life. Knowledge alone puffs us up, but application of the knowledge makes us holy and grows us in the Lord. We're not just trying to learn to build up knowledge, because knowledge is great, but once you apply that knowledge, that's where real transformation happens in your life and mine. That's where the growth really happens, and that's where God really can fulfill His vision and mission for your life and for our congregation. So we grow through the Lord. Number two, we grow through experiences. You learn things really, really well when you go through something, don't you? A lot of times when you read about it, you can appreciate it, but when you experience it in your life, when you go through it, it really hits home and you can really apply it to your life because it's personal, right? It's personal when you experience it yourself. The best way to learn, people say, is OJT, on-the-job training. Right. If I take somebody, especially for a technical job, and I give them all the book knowledge and they go to Savannah Technical College here down the road, and any one of them, they can learn all day long. But if they're not on the job applying it, it's not going to sink in. It's not going to seep in. It's not going to really allow them to grow in that particular profession or trade. It's in the same way with the Lord. We have got to grow through these experiences that we have. A lot of times as believers, we go through experiences, primarily bad experiences, and we just want to shut the door. We just want to be like, okay, I just got to barrel through this experience. You know, I'm kind of like that. Let's just get through it because I know there's a rainbow, you know, on the other side. Well, God has us going through valleys a lot of times to teach us things, not just for us to barrel down and get through it. Okay? David in Psalm 23 talks about how the valley restores a soul and how when you go through the valley, there's things to learn. There's a lot of things you can learn in the valley. And typically, you know, you have the valley and you have the mountaintop. And a lot of times you learn more in the valley than on the mountaintop. You know, on the mountaintop is great. You're there, you're just receiving, and everything's going great in your life. But, you know, the air is really, it's really hard to breathe on the mountaintop. And you can't stay there very long. you don't really grow on the mountaintop. Where you grow is up and down and going into that valley. And God has things in our lives, valleys in our lives, that we may be going through from time to time. And it's not just so we can just, okay, hurry up and get through it. It's so that we can grow through it. So God has those in our lives, and we have to recognize it as an opportunity to learn. Never feels good, but it's an opportunity to learn. We really, really grow through the trials and the experiences and the tribulations that we have. When we get out of our comfort zone, that's where God can do things. And they call it like the refiner's fire. Have you ever heard of that term before? A refiner's fire. When a tool, have you ever seen a reproduction of like the colonial times where you have the blacksmith and they have the old, all the stuff. And we were down in Wormslow Plantation several months ago. And it was really interesting because they had this guy there with his whole setup and he was fashioning tools. And the way that he fashioned the tools was he took this raw material, right? This rod. It did not look like a tool. And he'd stuck it in the fire, really hot fire. And when you stick a tool like that or something, a raw material in the fire, what happens? It gets bendable. It gets malleable. And then he was showing us how he created the tool. He was creating the tip of the tool that he was using. He was, you know, fashioning all these things, bending it around. When we go through a fire like that, it's painful. But God is molding us. God is shaping us. God is making us into a tool that he can use to fulfill the mission he has. It's not about our mission in life. It's about his mission. And he's got to provide tools to accomplish that mission. You and I need to be molded, and that can only happen through sometimes going through fire. So remember that the next time you're going through something in your life, God is at work. God is actually overseeing this, and he's kind of bending me and molding me and making me malleable. We are being molded by our master for what God has for us in the future. James 1, 2 through 4. Let's go there. Book of Yaakov, James. This is kind of hard, but let's read it. Count it as joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I still struggle with being joyful when I'm going through trials. Does anybody have, like, whenever they go through a trial, they start a new trial, and they're like, oh, here we go, I'm so excited now. This is going to be great. This is going to be fun. I still don't say that. I'll have to be honest with you. But we're supposed to count it all as joy when we go through these trials. Why? Not because we like pain, but because this is where the molding occurs. Okay? The testing of our faith produces steadfastness. Steadfastness has to have its full effect. Listen, God may have something for you to go through around the corner that he's got to mold you for first. Because he's got to use that particular thing in your life that you're learning in order maybe to help somebody else out. I can't tell you how many times God's had me go through a trial, and after having gone through the trial, I feel beat up. But I've grown. And then all of a sudden, God puts something in my path where I can use that. God puts someone in my path that I can reassure and encourage and say, you know what, you're going through a trial now. I was just through it, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to come out on the other side. And you're going to be better. You're going to be ready for what God has for you for the next step. Another example is when you go through the furnace. You know, when gold goes through a furnace or something, it burns off all the impurities. You and I, let's face it, we have some impurities. We don't like to think about it. We always like to think about all the good traits that we have in our lives. If you want to learn about some of your impurities, I have a little piece of advice for you. Get married. And I don't mean that. I love you, honey. I don't mean that in that way. What I mean is when you get married, it's like, wow, there's somebody that's actually seeing me from the outside and is probably going to tell me about a few things, a few impurities in my life. And when you have kids, it's even worse. Oh, boy. You mean I've got to learn patience? I thought I had patience, Lord. And now you have children. You know, God uses these things to refine us. Okay? And we should count it all as joy when we have these things happen in our lives. When you go through these tests, when you go through these trials, look at it as an opportunity to grow. It's like working out. When you go to the gym, now some of you may hear may love going to the gym. I don't think I'll ever love working out because it hurts. It hurts to work those muscles, but you know you're building muscle. You're building muscle mass. And at the end of the day, you're going to be healthier. Okay? So sometimes you got to work out. You got to build those muscles for the healthy work that God has for you. That's number two. Number three, we grow in our relationships. You know the saying, no man is an island unto himself, or no woman. We grow by interacting with others. There's a lot of great books on this, spiritual growth books on this. But God always grows us through relationships. And I don't mean always good relationships. Sometimes, you know, our personalities, we get along with a lot of people, right? There's certain people you like to get along with. Oh, we just clicked. Then there's some people that you don't click with, right? And doesn't it seem like whenever you're growing in your life and doing things, God puts people in your path, whether it's at work, even at synagogue, maybe they're even in your own family, and it's like, we don't click so well. That's a difficult person. You know, maybe it's even a toxic person. But God puts people in our path, good and bad, to help us grow. We should be seeking out good relationships, don't get me wrong, but I'm not saying we should shun when God puts us in difficult relationships. Look at it as an opportunity to grow. Maybe God is showing you something. Maybe God is showing them something. Maybe it's a colleague you have at work, or like I said, maybe it's a family member that just knows how to push your buttons. Maybe it's a friend, or maybe it's somebody you have to just interact with every week, every day, every month, and you just dread it. Well, look at it as an experience that you have to go through to grow you. You know, our parents teach us the basics about life. They teach us how to talk to people. I teach my kids, you know, say hello to people, look people in the eye, say please, say thank you, all this good stuff. And, you know, when our kids are really young, it's like, okay, Sally, okay, Johnny, okay, do all these things and you're going to have a great life. You know, everything's all happy and nice. And another example I can give you is when I read to my kids the Bible, my little kids, my younger kids, I read them the children's Bible, right? I don't pull out this Bible because there's no pictures, right? And they're going to get bored after about 5 seconds. So we go to the children's Bible, and depending on what children's Bible you have, all children's Bible do one thing besides have the Word of God, right? All children's Bibles shorten the stories, and they sugarcoat the stories, don't they? They sugarcoat them. Because kids, little kids, can't absorb all the nuances of what Scripture has to say. Okay? I have never read a children's Bible where it talks about when so-and-so took the spear and they thrust it through the guy and the girl that were having sex in the tent. That never happens in children's Bibles. Children's Bibles don't talk about the pain that Job went through, about how his wife died and his kids were killed. It sugarcoats things. But there's a reason it sugarcoats things, because little kids can't handle the truth, right? They can't handle all that stuff. So it teaches them just the basics that they need at the time. They just need the milk. They don't need the meat. When they get older, then they learn about the meat. They learn about all the things of the world. And hopefully as parents, we're teaching them those things. But when they're really young, I'm not going to tell my six-year-old about all the things of the world that she doesn't need to know right now. She's not ready. She's not ready. She hasn't grown enough. There's a story of Jacob in the children's Bible. I love this. He marries two women and has children with them. Of course, we know Jacob had other women. We have all the problems that was going on between Jacob's family. All the children's Bible says is Jacob got married and had kids. That's all it says. There's one little page, and you know these children's Bibles, they all have these buggy eyes, and they're always smiling. Everything about them is always smiling, and everything is great. You know, it's like the Lego movie. Everything is awesome. That's how these children's Bibles are. It's like us when we're young in the Lord. We can only handle the milk, right? When you first became a believer, nobody's going to come to you and say, thank you for accepting Yeshua. Now, here's all the bad things that are going to go on in your life. Here's all the valleys you're going to go through. Here's all the problems you're going to have. No, they don't tell you that. You learn that over time. We got to get the basics down first. Just like with children's Bibles and kids, you get the basics down first. Now, when you grow in the Lord, growing in the Lord is not continuing to read that children's Bible over and over. Growing in the Lord is not just learning, okay, Jacob did this and had a lot of kids, and yay, and let's all smile. Growing in the Lord means you learn about the things Jacob did right, and you learn about the ton of things Jacob did wrong. You know why the Bible is the Lord, God's word, and there's no other book like it? Because every other religion has their Bible, and it's all about how great the people were. Oh, Muhammad is so great. Let's talk about him in the Quran. Oh, Confucius is so great. Let's talk about him in that holy book. This is the only book where you're going to hear all the bad things that David did. You're going to hear all the ways that Solomon didn't follow God. Because we're human, and we mess up. And I'm thankful that this word of God tells me that there are people that are going to mess up. Because guess what? It's going to take me about 5 minutes until the next time I mess up in this world. So I'm thankful that I can learn that other people messed up too. You know, David messed up terribly. None of that stuff made the children's Bible, I'm telling you. He really, you know, the thing about Bathsheba, that's not going to be found in any children's Bible. But, you know, we have to learn these kind of things. We have to understand that there's going to be problems. Things are going to be messy. Things don't always work out. People are not going to like you. People are going to call you names. People are going to possibly persecute you in the word and in your faith. And you know what? It's okay. They persecuted Yeshua. They gave Yeshua problems, but you're never going to learn about the problems if you don't stop reading the children's Bible and read the Word of God and start applying it to your life. And you're growing through relationships with not only the good people, but the people that aren't so good. They're going to let you grow a lot in your life. Number four, and lastly, so we grow through experiences, we grow through relationships, we go through the Lord with the Lord. This is really key today for us as a congregation. Number four is we grow in our fellowship. We grow in our fellowship. I'm talking about being part of a community or a congregation. This is different than your fellowship with your buddies or your friends when you go out and you watch a movie or you do something. That's great fellowship. But what we're talking about here is spiritual fellowship. And that is a necessary thing that you need to grow and to fulfill the mission and vision God has for your life and for our congregation. The people that you're worshiping with every week, the congregation that you've attached yourself to, that you've planted your plant, your life with, that's important. It's important to have fellowship. And there are three ways that I'm going to give you that we can grow in our fellowship today. Number one is obvious, meeting together. You can't grow in your fellowship if you're home watching TV. That's not fellowship. You can't have fellowship with the people on TV that are telling you all about the Lord. You have to have fellowship with real, living, and breathing people that sometimes don't say all the right things to you, that sometimes don't do all the right things around you. You grow in that fellowship, good and bad. Meeting together. Let's look at Acts 2:42. And they, these are the believers now, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That's it. That's what they did. They devoted themselves to learning. So they were hearing the Word of God. How do you hear it? Well, there was no TV at that time. You had to go to the temple. You had to go to the places where they were, and you had to listen to them speak. Okay? And the fellowship. This is getting together as a community, getting together as a congregation, doing things together. Assembling together. We cannot stop meeting together because you don't grow. Hebrews 10:24-25. This is a powerful scripture that people always forget. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Look, back 2,000 years ago, there were those people that were still sitting home and the equivalent of watching stuff on the TV or on the internet. The habit of some, even Shaul recognized that there was people that didn't want to get together and meet. And that's why he put that scripture, that's why the Lord had him put that scripture in there to make mention that, yeah, some people are telling you, I don't need to get together. We don't need a fellowship. That's not how we grow. We don't really need that. That's a fun thing. But you know what? I'm going to grow with the Lord. I'm just going to go home and grow with the Lord. Don't neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. But you know why we get together? Encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Listen, This world is getting darker and darker and darker by the day, and it has been for thousands of years. As it gets darker, we need to encourage each other more. We need to get together more. It's more important to get together than it was a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, or 10 years ago. It's more important. Let's continue to meet together. That's number one. Number two, we got to build each other up. Don't just show up and we all stand around. We've got to build each other up. Ephesians 4:15-16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, unto Messiah, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know, when you're young, your body is growing. You stop growing at a certain age, right? If one part of your body grows and the other parts don't, that is unhealthy, okay? That is a deformity. That is not the right way that growth is supposed to happen. Your whole body is supposed to grow. Your arms are supposed to grow. Your head is supposed to grow. Your mind is supposed to. All the parts of you are supposed to grow. And when parts do not grow, only some parts grow and some don't, it's unhealthy. Have you ever known somebody, a believer, a friend, who knows, that really has a lot of things going for them? They really understand God. Maybe they pray like crazy. Maybe they do this, this, and this really, really well. And you look at them like, what an example of a godly person. But then you get to know them a little bit better, and there's certain areas of their life where they have not grown at all. And they still have those other areas, right? We all do. But I'm saying, have you ever met somebody where it's like really out of whack? They have like spent all their time on these areas and they've grown so much, but on these areas they are just baby. They're still reading the children's Bible, right? That's not healthy. Now, to some extent, we all have that. We all kind of pick the places, the areas we want to grow, the areas that are fun to grow in, but we kind of don't pick those other areas that are not so fun to grow. I don't really want to go there. That's too painful. We got to work on all the areas. That's what true growth is. And you know what? The whole body together, forget just us now, we're part of a larger body of Messiah. We have to grow together. And that could be applied several ways. Number one, we grow together as a community here at Karen Orr. Number two, we don't shun the rest of the body. Have you ever met those crazy cults? You've read about it on TV, the Waco cult, these cults. They're the only thing. What they do is the only way. Everybody else is going to hell. Well, they're not properly functioning as the body because they believe they're the only body and everybody else is counterfeit, apostate, whatever you want to call it. That's not healthy. That's not scriptural. That's not the way we should be growing. The entire body of Messiah. It's good that we have friends in other congregations. I have other pastor friends and people in other churches and other synagogues and congregations. It's good we're all one body. Okay? But we also have to remember, don't forsake meeting together in our little piece of the body. We're the little finger right here, Karen Orr. Okay? We're that piece of the body that has to learn to grow with itself. So we have to get together. We have to build each other up. Because growth can't happen unless we get together and we build each other up. This is community. This is how it's supposed to work. When community is working right, listen, it's awesome, isn't it? When people are helping out and everybody's doing this, everybody's lending a hand. But when things are not going right in a congregation, it's a disaster. You've probably all been in congregations before where it's a bit of a disaster, where people are not building each other up, where people are not coming, where people are not working together. And it's destructive. It's really destructive to the point where it would have been better if it had never been because it just ruins people's lives. And that is not good growth. That's the unhealthy growth we talked about earlier. Healthy growth is when we're building each other up in the Lord. And that doesn't mean just going up to all your friends here at the synagogue every week and saying, well, bless your heart. I'm so glad that you're in the middle of all your sin and I'm just going to just say yes, great. No, I mean, listen. We're supposed to talk to each other. We're supposed to encourage each other. Sometimes that may mean saying to somebody in love, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. That's contrary to the word of God. Now, there's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do that, believe me. But sometimes we need to do that. But how can you do that if you don't come? How can we do that if we're all sitting home individually and growing at home? Okay? You only grow in those fun areas, those channels you like to turn on the TV. Okay? You don't ever, quote unquote, turn on those channels that are painful to you when you're all alone. But when you're with people, when you're together, God's trying to work some muscles out that maybe you don't want to work out. That person, he's on me again, she's on me again. We're building each other up in so many ways when we get together. And when it's done right, it's really, really good. We got to ask ourselves, though, because it's a tricky thing when we get together and we're fellowshipping. It's great to say that, oh, let's get together and fellowship. But sometimes we can bump into each other. We can butt heads. We can have problems and issues. You've got to ask yourself, we have to always ask ourselves, are my actions and my words building this community up? Are my actions and my words building up so-and-so sitting next to me? Maybe I'm saying things that they need to hear, but I'm saying it in the wrong way. Maybe I don't need to say things, and I don't need to be the Holy Spirit for people. Maybe God needs to work it out with them. You know what that takes? That takes a little thing called wisdom and a little thing called discernment. And you get that by doing what? Oh, by reading the Word of God and connecting and talking, by growing, okay? But you can't expect to come in and just be like, okay, here's how it's going to work. You know that personality, right? The prophet personality. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. If you guys got your stuff together, things would be great here. Okay, that's the wrong approach, all right? The right approach is building a relationship with that person, and then maybe you can speak into their life, okay? God isn't like that. He's not like, okay, you're a believer now. Okay, you're doing this thing wrong, and this thing wrong. Before we can hang out, you need to fix these things right away. Thank God he doesn't say like that to us. I still have a lot of impurities that I'm thankful he lets me fellowship with him and spend time with him. Amen. But it's all about the right way to be in relationship here in the congregation. Are my words and my actions building this person up? Am I saying things maybe I should say or I shouldn't say? Am I trying to pry into their lives because I want to know the dirt or because I want to help them or because I want to reach out to them in love? Is it a true desire? Is it the Lord or is it me wanting to know more? Do I know them well enough to have that discussion with them? Maybe you don't know them well enough to really talk to them, but maybe you can just pray about it. Pray for them and pray maybe somebody that knows them better can speak into their lives. You have to cultivate the relationship first. We can't go to God and just say, I want this, I want that, I want that. Thanks. By the way, nice to meet you, God. I'm glad I'm a believer. And give me this, 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 and this because I'm a believer now. I'm a child of God. You know, you have the cattle on 1,000 hills. You should be able to provide this to me. That's not how it works with the Lord. It's not how it works with relationships. Our congregation is a place where we can worship and learn about God together. It's so much better than doing it alone. It's a place where older people can teach younger people, where more mature people can disciple other people. It's a place where you and I can grow. You may not think that person sitting next to you can teach you things in your life. But let me tell you, here's my story. I said it before. I came from a congregation. I grew up in Florida. And Florida is the land of lots of Jewish people and lots of old people. And my congregation was full of Jewish old people. Okay? So we didn't have a lot of youth growing up when we went to service. I learned how to have relationships with people that were 60 years old and 70 years old. And you know what? We would have a great time. We would have a great relationship. And I got to learn from these older men and women. And I got to grow. But I would have never said on the outset, oh, I'm going to go every week and I'm going to go hang out with 60 and 70 year olds because that's fun for a teenager. That's not. It wasn't. But you know what? God used it. And I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I opened up and I listened because it's great. It's great to have relationships with people in different generations because they can teach you things. And you know, older folks, the younger people can teach you things too. And younger folks, the older people can teach. I think both generations, you know, we have all these multiple generations for the first time in history. We have the baby boomers. We have the older generation, the World War II, that are still around. We have what are all the groups? We have, what am I, honey? What? Thank you, Gen X. That's what I'm a Gen Xer. That tells you kind of how old I am. And Then we have the millennials. So I'm not going to say anything about millennials. But anyway, every group has their strength and their weakness. Every group. We pick on different groups, but we can all learn from each other. And we have the benefit, because of people living longer and being healthier, to learn from all these different groups. So take the time when we're in relationship here, when we're hanging out together, when we're fellowshipping together, to learn. Go sit with somebody in Ognag you may not have ever sat with before, because they may have some things that you need to hear in your life. Okay? It's how it works. God does this. God allows a lot of different people to water your life. Don't allow just this group of people here that you like to hang out with water your life, because they're not going to have all the right water for you. But there's all these people here that are ready to pour water into your life and grow you if you just allow God to work. And if you allow those people to speak into your life and to do these things, you're going to grow. And you're going to grow in a healthy way. You're not going to have all this growth over here in the places you like, and all this non-growth, all this stuff that you should have learned the beginning and you never learned. You're going to be an unhealthy person. You're not going to have grown the right way. So be sensitive to what God is bringing into your life in our community. Be sensitive to what God has. And there's a third way we grow in fellowship. We grow in fellowship by giving. We grow by giving. You ever heard it's far better to give than to receive, right? It's great to receive. I like to receive. I love to receive. But we should also like to give, okay? And I mean that in every sense of the word, to be able to give. To give of your time, give it all these ways. This can be applied as in our congregation. There's three ways primarily we give: time, talents, and tithes. Okay, the three T's. Time is obviously going to service, spending time with people, spending time in the community. You know, come to our Tashlik service. Come to the time where we put the sukkah together. That may not seem like a lot of fun or a really spiritually great experience, but you never know. You could form some good relationships by helping somebody put together a pole in the sukkah the time that we do it. Those are the ways that we grow. So it's time, taking time for people, taking time to spend with the Lord. It's talents. Listen, I always, as a worship leader, I was a worship leader for like 15 years. And it would always make me laugh when somebody came up to me that I have known for literally 10 years in the congregation. Oh, I play guitar. Where were you 10 years ago when I needed a guitar player? I had no idea you played guitar. You know, you never know. There's people with hidden talents. Now, it may not be guitar. Maybe your talent is administration. Maybe your talent is teaching. But unless you come forward with your talents and bless the community with it, we're not going to have that talent. So God has gifted every single one of us with unique talents. And if you are sensitive to that and gifts and talents, and you can use that, because God doesn't give you talents so you can go home and enjoy all your talents all the time. That's great. But you got to be able to give your talents, because other people need to receive your talents. We all have talents. I have things that I do not do well. And thankfully, I do not give those things here at the synagogue. Okay? I'm not great at, I don't know, you fill in the blank. A lot of things I'm not great at. Okay. And that's okay. I don't have to be great at everything. I don't want to be great at everything. But we're all great in certain areas. God has given us unique talents. And I don't care how young you are, by the way. There are scriptures that talk about this. You could be a teenager. You could be a preteen. And God could use you mightily in this congregation. We have to remember that. And you know what? On the flip side, you could be 80 years old and you could be used mightily by God in this congregation. Or anywhere in between. So time, talents, and of course tithes, giving to the storehouse. God, you know, God does things, and it's all about God. But God uses people to accomplish his purposes. And you know what? We do pay bills around here to keep this synagogue running. Things cost money, and we need to be able to give of those financial sacrifices. And this is not about, oh, you got to give and this and that. But listen, healthy growth requires giving in many ways, and that is one of the ways. You can't just give in a couple of ways and not go in another way. That's unhealthy. We have to think, and we have to consciously say, God, what are the areas? What are the areas that I can give of my talents? Lord, how do I need to give financially? You have to figure those areas out, and you have to really go to the Lord with those things, because that's how the rent is paid. That's how things happen. It happens with giving of our tithes as well. And there's a lot of negative talk. You know, there's things people don't like to talk about: politics, religion, and money. Okay, we don't really talk about politics here, because that we're not about that. We talk a whole lot about religion. That's pretty much all we talk about here, isn't it? And there's the money thing. And you know what? Sometimes you got to talk about money too, because we have to pay the bills here. So think about that. Pray about that. God wants us to give in all areas of our lives. You reap what you sow. You know, if you're going around and you're like just a negative person, you ever met a believer that's a negative person and all they do is complain, I don't have this, I don't have that. After about a few times, you don't want to be hanging out. You kind of avoid them. Oh, so-and-so's in the oneg room. I'm going to come over here in the sanctuary. I'm going to be over here. You avoid those people. We don't want to be those kind of people, because you know what? What you're sowing out, you're going to reap. Be a pleasant person. Be a giving person. Be an encouraging person. Be a person that likes to talk to people. Listen, I am by nature a shy person. It's very hard for me sometimes to talk to people in my nature. I've had to learn to give, okay, of my personality. Okay, my wife can tell you. I was a very shy person. And I had to learn that. There's areas of your life that you're needing to give in that you haven't given. And God wants you to do that. God wants you to reach out to people. God wants you to have this relationship with so-and-so. But you've got to go out there and get out of your comfort zone. Because remember, we don't grow in comfort zones. We grow in the valley. We grow in the times of trials, primarily. And, you know, I don't like it. I'm not happy about that. I would have loved to grow just sitting back on the couch and watching TV all day. That would be fun for me. Or, you know, doing the things I want to do, going to movies or whatever it is, reading. But that's not always how we grow. We grow in many ways. We grow in the Lord. We grow in our experiences. We grow with our relationships. We grow in our fellowship. This is really true growth. Don't kid yourselves. God wants you to grow in every way of your life. Don't neglect the areas that are not as fun. Pry those areas open. Maybe you've closed it up for a while. But, you know, gently pry those areas open and really give them to the Lord. Okay? Maybe they're painful, but God wants to be the Lord of all areas of your life, not just the fun ones. God wants to do a work in all areas of my heart, not just the places I like to go, not just the things I like to do. God wants true growth, because true growth, giving of all of yourself, is where God can then mold you, so that you can accomplish the vision and the mission he has for you. Because our life is not our own. We don't get to pick and choose the areas we get to grow in. We're God's people now, and he gets to choose the areas. Now, thankfully, he chooses a lot of good areas a lot of times that are fun for me. But sometimes he chooses those areas that are not so fun. Don't neglect those areas. Let the Lord open the door. Let the Lord work in your life. Let the Lord grow you in those areas. Because you know what? You never know who's around the corner that's going to need that encouragement. You never know who's around the corner that's going to need that talent that you have and only you have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you. You're awesome, Lord, because you see everything. We only see partially, you know, this as the scripture says. We don't see it all. You have the whole plan. Lord, you had the whole plan for Nehemiah. He couldn't see it all at once, but he trusted you. Lord, you had the whole plan for Abraham. He didn't see it all at once. He could have never seen that he's going to have this kid, and he's going to go to this land, and he's going to do all these things, but he trusted you, and he took one step. Lord, sometimes we just need to trust you and just take that one step forward, and you're going to meet us right there. And you're not going to just leave us hanging. If we reach out to you, you're going to meet us there, and you're going to start walking along with us. You're not going to say, hey, here's the valley of the shadow of death. Have fun. You, Lord, are going to give us that rod and that staff. You, Lord, are going to be our comfort in the midst of the darkest, deepest, most not fun things in our life. And we have to remember, Lord, you're always there. You'll never leave us or forsake us. So, Lord, as we seek you today about the areas we need to grow in our lives, help us to not be afraid. Help us to reach out to you and help us to say, Lord, here's my life. Here's my heart. God, I know you have a plan. Lord, I have no idea what that plan is. I'm not sure what the mission is. But Lord, I'm opening up all the areas of my life, the good and the bad, the fun and the not fun. And Lord, I'm going to allow you to work. I'm going to allow you to grow these areas. I'm going to allow you to pour the water on the plant of my life. I'm going to allow you to plant me where you've called me, not where I maybe will choose, but where you've called me. Lord, I pray that you just reveal it to each and every one of us. Show us the areas we need to grow. Show where we need to grow, Lord God. Reveal these things to us as we seek your face and as we trust you, as we hold on to you. Each step of the way, you hold our hand and you say, come on, this is where I have for you. Thanks for reaching out. I'll help. I'll walk with you the rest of the way. That's what it's all about. So, Lord, as we come to you today, if there's anyone here that maybe is, look, we all have areas where we haven't let you in, Lord. I just pray that you would open up every area that we need. Lord, we know that you're going to take care of us. We know you're going to protect us. We know you're going to grow us, Lord God. We can rest and know and not be afraid because you're always going to take care of us. Lord, friends will betray us. Family could betray us. People could betray us, but you'll never betray us. So we can trust when we open up those areas of our lives that you're going to be there and you're not going to laugh and you're not going to say, I can't believe that, but you're going to love us, Lord, and you're going to work with us and grow us through them, Lord. So I just pray for every person here, Lord, that you would show them those areas. And if they need to come to you, Lord God, and rekindle that relationship, help them to do it now, Lord God, even in their heart. And if they need to grow a little bit more in you today, help them to do now. Help them to resolve now in their heart. Lord, work, convict, show us, Lord God, encourage. You are our salvation. You are our life, Lord God. And we just open our lives up to you in the name of Yeshua who died for us. And we thank you, God, that you're there. We thank you that our community is here, Lord God. Help us to grow in healthy ways here at Karen Orr. Help us to grow in healthy ways in our lives and healthy ways in our community today, Lord God. And as we prepare to assemble, to get together for Rosh Hashanah, prepare our hearts, Lord God, for the next phase that you have for our lives and for our congregation. We commit it to you, Lord. It's yours. Take it and grow us today, Lord God. We praise you. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.